Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Colossians. This is the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, inspiring the Apostle Paul to write to a church, a group of, really, historically, I believe that most historians believe it was a small group of believers in a city called Colossae. So this is the Colossian letter. And I'm going to be preaching from chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. And I have two messages that I want to bring on a particular subject. This is the first one. This will be part one. And then next week will be part two. And the title of these messages is Godly Love and Forgiveness. Godly Love and Forgiveness. And let's begin by just reading the portion that I'm going to be preaching from in these two messages, using as a base to talk about these two great and glorious subjects, love and forgiveness, godly love and forgiveness. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, I'm gonna read these and just make some comments to open up with. And Paul writes in verse 12, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." And then in verse 13, he says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any." Now here he's talking about brethren in the church. And he says, "Even as Christ forgave you." Now, there's the standard and basis of forgiveness between brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. If any man have a quarrel against any, if he has a matter, a disagreement, somebody said something wrong or harmed him, "Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And then in verse 14, this will be the last verse for our text. "And above all these things, put on charity." Now, the word charity is the same that's translated the word love. If you think about passages such as 1 Corinthians 13, which is called the love chapter, he talks about charity there. And charity is a good translation of it, but it's the same as the word love. So above all these things, put on love, put on charity, which is the bond, and that's something that holds things together, of perfectness, which is completeness. Now, or completed, completeness. Perfectness here is not talking about any kind of perfection of morality or anything. It's not saying that we do anything perfect. But what it's saying here is that this bond of love is a bond of completeness. It makes us complete. It reaches its goal. So that's my text on godly love and forgiveness. Now let me go back through there and just give you some thoughts. You know, first of all, in verse 12, he says, "Put on therefore." Now what does he mean, put on? When the Bible talks about putting on qualities of character, putting on gifts of the Spirit, put on love, put on charity, put on faith. The Bible even speaks of putting on Christ. Those who have put on Christ. What is it talking about? Well, it's talking about believing in these things, actively engaging in these things, embracing these things. If you put on Christ, you believe in Him, you rest in Him, and you embrace Him as your only way of salvation, your only way of forgiveness, your only way of righteousness before God. To put on Christ is to believe in Him. That's God-given faith. That's not what we do by nature. We don't have faith by nature. And I'm going to talk to you in a moment about love. We don't have love by nature, not this kind of love. But put on, therefore, and how do we do it? He says, as the elect of God. Now, who are the elect of God? Well, that's God's elect. Those are the people whom God chose before the foundation of the world. He chose them, and He chose them, each one, in His sovereign, immutable, awesome mind, and He gave them to Christ for salvation. He chose them to salvation. In Romans 9, they're called the vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. They're the children of God. And the elect of God are known by God bringing them to believe the gospel. The gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also, or the Gentile also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. The elect of God are the justified. What does that mean? That means they are not charged with their sin. The Bible says in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. They are those who will not be condemned because they are sinners saved by grace. Romans 8:34 says, who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. The elect of God, they are the redeemed of the Lord. They are those for whom Christ died. They are called His people. He calls them His people. He calls them His sheep. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God. How do I know that I'm elect of God? Because God has brought me to see and believe and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as He's identified and distinguished in the Bible. He says, holy and beloved here in Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Holy means separate, because God has separated His people out. When He chose them, He separated them out. When He justified them, He separated them out. When He redeemed them, He separated them out. And He says, holy and beloved. That is, beloved of God. Now, that's speaking of God's love towards the elect. That's who God loves. God doesn't love everybody. The Bible tells us that. God hated Esau. God hates all workers of iniquity. Who's He talking about there? He's talking about those to whom God imputes or charges with sin. And remember what I said there as I quoted Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, God will not charge His elect with sin because He charged their sins to Christ. And Christ took their sins to the cross and paid the price, paid their debt. And so that's the expression of God's love towards them. God's love equals their salvation. And so He says, you as separated out and loved of God, put on bowels of mercy. Now that's a way, the old ancient way of expressing compassion. Bowels of mercy. Because it comes from the very inner part of us. Kindness, He says. Humbleness, and we know what kindness is. Be kind to people. And, I mean, that explains itself. Humbleness of mind. Humble before God and humble before men. That's what He's talking about. Meekness. Now, what is meekness? It is willing submission to God's will, God's way, and God's word. That's what meekness is. Long-suffering. That means to suffer long. It means to put up with a lot. And how do we do that? Well, verse 13 of Colossians 3. Forbearing one another. Oh, boy. That's tough to do. Put up with a lot. You say, and somebody says, I've put up with enough. Well, I doubt that. I know I feel that way sometimes. But forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Be forgiving. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Now, how did Christ forgive His people? And I think the word there that we need to see is that Christ forgave all of His people. God forgives all of His people towards them now, as it relates to them, unconditionally. In other words, there was nothing for them to do in order to gain or earn or deserve His forgiveness. It was all a matter of grace and mercy. Now, there were conditions for God to forgive His people, but the conditions were not upon them. Do you understand that now? Oh, there are conditions. God cannot just arbitrarily forgive sinners. When God forgives, the forgiveness that He applies from Himself to His people must be given on a just ground. And that ground is what Christ did on the cross to bring about the forgiveness of sins. And I'm going to talk more about that later in these messages. But understand now, when He says you forgive one another as Christ forgave you, that means unconditionally. Somebody hurts me and they intend to hurt me, I'm to forgive them unconditionally. That's what Christian forgiveness is. But understand me now. That doesn't mean that God, when He forgives me unconditionally, that doesn't mean that there were no conditions to be met in order for God to forgive me. But the conditions were not on me. You see, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner upon whom God has shown mercy. And that includes all the blessings and all the benefits of salvation, even the forgiveness of sins. And Christ is the one who fulfilled the conditions so that God could be a just God and a forgiver of sinners, a just God and a Savior. How can God be both a just God, a righteous judge, and a loving Father? There's only one ground. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And later on, we'll see in a verse of Scripture where it talks about that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful because that means He promised to do it and He will do it. But He's also just to forgive our sins. And so He goes on, He says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then verse 14, here's the love above all. And this is the umbrella for all that believers do. Above all, these things put on charity. Love. Love one another, which is the bond of perfectness. Now let me talk first of all about godly love, because that's important. And you know, in the New Testament, if you went back to the original language, you would find that there are different words for the word love. And the reason is because there are different kinds of love. Now, we have the same in our language today, but we use the same word, L-O-V-E, for all of them. And the only way we know the difference is by context. For example, if I were to tell you, I love my wife, and I do. And then if I were to say, I love my children, my grandchildren, those are two different kinds of love. The love that I have for my wife is one kind of love. The love that I have for my children is a different kind of love. And in the Bible, the New Testament, the original, there'd be different words for those. And I love my country. That's a different kind of love. I love my fellow man. Humanity. Now that doesn't, and listen, let me tell you something now. That doesn't mean have any love in perfection. You know, when He says this is the bond of perfectness, He's not talking about love in perfection. My love falls way short sometimes than what it ought to be. But there are different kinds of love. Now the love that He's speaking of here is not the kind of love that a husband has for his wife or a wife for her husband. That's romantic love, and it's not the kind of love that a mother or a father has for the children, and it's not the kind of love that that we have for our country or our fellow man, our neighbor. Love your neighbor. Now, sometimes that word, same word is used, but it's different context. But this is godly love. Now, you may have heard of the term agape. And that's what this is. This is godly love. And the first thing I want you to notice about this love, this godly love, is this. This love has to do with love of brethren in the faith. Do you understand that? Love of brethren in the faith, which is a gift from God through Christ by the Holy Spirit, and nobody, no person born into this world naturally, born of Adam, ruined by the fall, born dead in trespasses and sins, nobody has this particular love by nature. You don't have it by nature. I didn't have it by nature. This is the love that God sheds abroad within the hearts of His people when He brings them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And before a sinner is born again by the Spirit and brought to see Christ in His glory, the glory of His person and the power of His finished work and how His blood and His righteousness washes away all my sins and justifies me before God. Before God brings me to see that, this kind of love that He's talking about here in Colossians 3 is absent. Now let me show you that. Oh, back over in the book of John. This is the book of John chapter 5. And look at verse 39. John 5:39. He writes here, this is the Lord speaking to the Pharisees, religious people. He says, search the Scriptures. Now, the construction of that is literally, it would be like I would be looking at you and you have a Bible open in your hands and I say, well, now you do search the Scriptures, don't you? And that's what he's saying here. You do search the Scriptures. These Pharisees and scribes were people who read their Bibles, what they had in the Old Testament at that time. And he says in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not, verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now see, they read their Bibles and they claimed to believe in God. They claimed to love God and they claimed to obey God. But he's telling them, the Lord's telling them, these Scriptures that you're reading and studying and trying to interpret, trying to memorize and trying to live by, they are they which testify of me. They speak of Christ. For example, a person who would study the first five books of the Old Testament called the Law, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and come out of that thinking that, well, in order for me to be saved, I've got to work my way by keeping the law. Well, now that person has missed the message of even those first five books of the Bible. What those first five books of the Bible, just like the whole Bible, is about the impossibility of me keeping the law and making myself righteous in God's sight. I'm a sinner. These men were sinners. And those books of the Bible are meant to drive me to the promise of God to send Christ into the world to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And that is keep the law and satisfy justice and bring forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value. Well, look back at John 5. Now he said in verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, verse 41. Verse 42, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. You don't have the love of God in you. This kind of love that Colossians 3 talks about among believers, the elect of God, they don't have it. Well, none of us do by nature. Now, how did he expose their lack of love of God? Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you, verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, basically, what that says, what that tells us is this. If you don't believe the true gospel, if God has not given you the gift of faith, that's a God-given gift. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Before you come to see and believe in and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have this kind of particular love, this divine love, this gift of love. You may love your wife. You men may love your wives. You women may love your husbands. I know you love your children. Some of you, most of you, you ought to. You love your country. Try to be kind and all of that. But you don't have this love. Okay? Because this love only comes by the work of the Spirit in salvation, regeneration and conversion. Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And it says, hope maketh not ashamed. Now, what hope is that? That's the hope of the gospel. And what is the hope of the gospel? It's my expectation, my assurance, my believing that I'm saved and right with God by His grace based on the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, charged to me, accounted to me, based upon His blood alone. If I'm hoping for salvation based upon what I do for God, that's not this hope. But this hope is the gospel hope. It's called the hope of God's elect. And it maketh not ashamed. Why? It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This love, this godly love, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this love is a gift of God. And no man has it by nature. And then another thing about this love is that nobody has it perfectly. There was a lawyer who came to the Lord one time. Now, a lawyer back then was not like lawyers today who study and work the law of the land. A lawyer back then is one who studied the law of God, the first five books of Moses. And this lawyer came to the Lord and he said, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And the Lord said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's talking about perfect love there. And none of us, not even believers who have been given this kind of love, can say we love God perfectly yet. We will one day when we go to be with the Lord, we leave this body of death, the flesh that hinders us. None of us can say we love our neighbor as ourselves perfectly, you see. We can say we love God and we love our neighbor, but not perfectly. Now, what is it to love God? It's to know Him. No unbeliever knows the true God. To love God is to love His truth, the gospel. And to love God is to love His people, fellow believers. And so this godly love is love of the truth and love of the brethren. It binds believers together. In 1 John chapter 2, listen to this, verse 9. 1 John 2 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, that is in the truth of the gospel light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. And verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, the truth, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. So understand, this is love of God that is given to His people by the Holy Spirit, and love of the brethren in the truth, loving Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he is none of his. And to love Christ is to love His truth. When you hear the doctrines of the Bible preached, do you love those doctrines or do you kick against them? See, because you can't say, well, I love God, but not love the things that the Bible reveals about Him. Some people who deny election, You know why they deny it? Because they don't love the God of election, the God of all grace, sovereign grace. Now that brings us down to forgiveness. And remember back in Colossians chapter 3, he says, you forgive one another even as Christ forgave you. And as I said, the key to that, and this is where we see the love of God and forgiveness coming together. How does God love his people? How does God forgive his people? Well, he does so unconditionally towards them. And that we have to make that distinction because there are conditions. Listen, everything that God does in the salvation of a sinner, every blessing, every benefit, there are conditions that must be met in order for God to give those blessings and benefits. But here's the glory of it, and here's our only hope. None of these conditions are on the sinner. If they were, they'd all fail. So there are no conditions on the sinner. The gospel is salvation, not conditioned on sinners and what they do or even what they choose or decide. The gospel is salvation conditioned on Christ. And Christ fulfilled those conditions. He met those conditions for his people. And so God freely forgives his people. And that's the way we're to forgive one another. That's the way we're to forgive even our enemies. That's what Christ said, you know, when love your enemies. Forgive your enemies unconditionally. But I'm going to talk about this forgiveness more in the next message along with this love. But we have to understand what he's actually commanding his people to do. You know, in the church, there's going to be problems, even true churches. There are going to be quarrels. There are going to be disagreements. There's going to be hurt feelings, all of that. There's going to be some people who take it too far, but they got to forgive unconditionally. And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.